church that we are able to worship together. And this virtual world is different. I thought of the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk or we live by faith, not by sight. And so have faith that you're there, and you have faith that I'm here, and that we are able to be together under the power of God. I wish I could do the handshake, hug, or something to see you in person. I guess the best I can do, I was thinking, a virtual hug. So here goes. Yeah, I felt like Precious Pup there. But just wanted you to know that you're loved. We are continuing on in a series in the book of 1 Peter. And we have been talking about the marital relationship, and now we move on to the husbands, to the guys. And I want to look at 1 Peter 3, the very first part of verse 7. And so if you haven't, if you'll turn there with me, and if you're able to stand in God's honor, I encourage you to do so as we look at our text. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you just continue to move among us, Lord. We are dependent upon your Spirit. Father, it's not about what we can see. It's about you. And so, Lord, we place our confidence in you that your Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and working among us and has been. And we just ask that, oh God, you would continue to do so, Lord, because we simply need you. So, Father, guide what remains of this service. In Christ's name, amen. It's interesting to me, as I think about the marital relationship, the Scripture tells us in Ephesians 5, it's a picture of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's ultimately a picture of the work of Jesus Christ, of the gospel. As we've talked about the role of the wife and talking about submission, and we think about the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and who has all authority, submitting himself to the work of the cross. What greater submission is there? And we move today into a scripture as we talk about husbands and how they are to love their wives. And in several places in the Scriptures, we are told that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. How much did Jesus love the church? He died for us. And so what we are talking about is death to self. What we are talking about is being willing to look to the needs of the other. And so we have this biblical picture of our Lord that is demonstrated in marriage. And we've talked about that role of submission. Now we're going to talk about unconditional love. And this morning we are particularly going to be looking at that in regard to being considerate, the importance of consideration. You know, as you think about dying to self, death is one of those things that you don't do in percentages. You're not 60% alive and 40% dead, or 20% dead and 80% alive, or 80% dead. No, when you're dead, you're dead. You're all dead. And so the Scripture tells us that the goal of our heart is to be dead to sin and alive in Christ. And as husbands, the goal is to be aware of her, guys. This word considerate is literally speaking of watching your wife, studying your wife, examining her, becoming familiar with her needs, becoming familiar with who she is. And we are to spend a lifetime doing that. And once God reveals to us her needs, who she is, then we are to seek to meet those needs. Lenski, the Greek scholar, said this wonderful phrase. He said, "Cure selfishness and you replant the Garden of Eden." A beautiful garden doesn't just happen by chance. In the state of North Carolina, where I'm from, I've always enjoyed as I drive on the interstate, there are areas in the state of North Carolina where there are lots of flowers that have been planted. And so there'll be beautiful stretches across the interstate in North Carolina where you'll see different types of flowers. And those flowers, well, it took work to plant those flowers, to put those flowers there, and none of us believe they just happened to appear. And so it is with a marriage, and so it is, guys, in our responsibility to our wives. The consideration God wants us to have for our wife, it doesn't happen merely by chance. It needs to be planted. The soil of a marriage needs to be cultivated. It is a lifelong amount of work. One study said that in the average home, a husband and wife only talk 37 minutes a week. That's not cultivation. It takes a lot more time than 37 minutes a week to know our wives and for them to know us and for that relationship to blossom and to bloom. And there are marriages out there that stay together for other reasons than to grow in knowing and loving one another. There are some marriages, they simply stay together for the sake of the children. I read about one couple, he was 92 and she was 89, and they ended up in a divorce court, and the judge looked at them and said, "You want to get a divorce now after all these years of marriage?" And the answer was, "Well, we wanted to wait till all of our children died. We didn't want them to go through the suffering of our divorce." There are reasons that people have for staying together. But God wants the marital relationship to be the most intimate and the closest of all relationships. So, the difficulty of growing in consideration of your wife, guys. You know, it's really tough the way we are made. You know, wives are more like a satellite antenna that has a far-reaching ability to catch a signal. And we guys are more like Wi-Fi, a couple of hundred feet, and the signal drops. And we are not able to see clearly what we need to see. And yet God tells us that our challenge is to be sensitive to our wives and to continue to try to learn about them. We are to replant the Garden of Eden by learning not to just think about ourselves and being selfish. Cure selfishness and you replant the Garden of Eden. I want to look at two areas to be considerate. The first is, don't be thoughtless, but plant seeds of politeness. I read about one guy, he went to a seminar on how to be more efficient in your life to make the best use of your time. And he came back from that seminar, and one morning he was sitting at the breakfast table as his wife began to prepare breakfast, which she was her normal morning schedule. And he looked at her and he said, "Honey, you are just so efficient in the way that you make breakfast each morning. I counted the number of trips that you made that were not necessary, back and forth to the refrigerator and the stove. And I believe I could really help you with your efficiency." And so anyway, later on, a friend of his, he was explaining this to a friend of his, this encounter, and his friend said, "Well, did it help? Did it cut down the time in fixing breakfast in the mornings?" And he said, "Yeah, it really helped. It went from her taking 20 minutes to prepare breakfast to me doing it in 7 minutes. Yeah, it had an impact he probably didn't foresee, right? And then I read about another guy. This amazes me, but there are all kinds of people out there. A couple in Germany who were in their 70s. And the husband, quite frankly, he did not like to listen to his wife's view of things. I have to be careful when I say it, right? And so as a result of that, he set up an air raid siren in the house. And when his wife began to complain, he would cut on the air raid siren. And this went on for an amount of time until finally she called the police. And the police came and made him disconnect the air raid siren. And he said, "This is such a shame because, guys, this really works." Yeah, I don't know what kind of, he's going to pay for that one, right? And the fact of the matter is, that's not polite. That's impolite. That's not considerate. That's inconsiderate. Hudson Taylor, the well-known missionary to China, he often said that he was able to make his best inroads because he was considerate of the Chinese people. He began to take their customs and implement them into his own life, wearing their type of clothing and being sensitive to their way of life. As a matter of fact, when he spoke about his mission life, he said that many missionaries are never able to make progress among another culture because they're impolite and they're inconsiderate. I want to share, here's words that he shared. He said, "Rude Christians will seldom be out of hot water in China, and although they are earnest and pious, they will not accomplish much. In nothing do we fail more as a mission than in lack of politeness." Husbands, we need to plant seeds of politeness and to dig up those weeds of thoughtlessness. And then a second one, don't be abusive. Plant seeds of affirmation. One statistic I read said that 1 out of 6 women face abuse. Physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse. And as godly men, we're not to be abusive. We are not to attack our bride. And although there's frustration and we say, well, we need to let out our frustration and our build up anxiety somewhere, she doesn't need to be the focal point of that. She doesn't need to be the tip of the spear that receives that. One British author said this about our Lord Christ. He said, "He is our perfect groomsman. He does not coerce the church, his bride. He woos the church and he loves her by laying his life down for her. He wins her heart and brings her to glad obedience. He isn't harsh or manipulative, but loving and gracious for the good of the church and the glory of his Father." One commentator, he said this, "Hey, try praising your wife even if at first it scares her." Hey, you know, he also said this in the commentary. He said, "Well, why don't you start with at supper if she prepares the meal and you sit down and eat the meal and say, 'Honey, thank you for cooking this. This is wonderful. This tastes so great.'" He said, or if that's not honest, say, "Honey, thank you for preparing this meal. It is unforgettable." Still, work at building her up. Work at looking at areas where you can be complimentary to her. Ray Pritchard, a preacher, wrote the word. He said that it takes 8 to 10 compliments to offset just one destructive comment. So the power of a negative word means we need to be encouragers and we need to strengthen instead of tear apart our lovely wives that we care so deeply about. That is the call. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to build up our partner, the one God's called to do this journey of life with us. And we have to be careful that we build up instead of tear down her. I want to share with you the words from a song. "Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the sun does not appear, I will be here. If in the dark we lose sight of love, hold my hand. Have no fear, because I will be here. I will be here when you feel like being quiet. When you need to speak your mind, I will listen. and I will be here. When the laughter turns to crying, through the winning, losing, and trying, we'll be together. I will be here tomorrow morning. If you wake up and the future is unclear, I will be here. Just as sure as seasons were made for change, our lifetimes were made for these years. So I will be here. I will be here, and you can cry on my shoulder. When the mirror tells us we're older, I will hold you, and I will be here to watch you grow in beauty and tell you all the things you are to me. I will be true to the promise I have made to you and to the one who gave you to me. Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the sun does not appear, I will be here. In the context of 1 Peter, there's something different about Christianity. You see, in the case of wives being submissive, the context of that scripture was talking about unbelieving husbands, husbands who were not sensitive to their wives. The same is true here. There are wives who are not sensitive to their husbands. Sometimes it is not easy to be affirmative. Sometimes it is not easy to be sensitive and considerate, especially if your wife is not respecting you. But that doesn't mean that is not a call. Being submissive, loving unconditionally, that's Jesus. And we are called to be like Christ. The picture of marriage. And what a challenge, guys. A challenge that can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit and being submitted to Him and living in that strength, not our own, because our strength is certainly not enough. And when people see that type of marriage and they see a husband and a wife treating one another in that manner, they see Jesus. That's why marriage is meant to be a demonstration of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I know that marriages are at times are not easy, Lord. We all face difficulties in our relationships. But God, you love us, Lord. And you provide a blueprint for how we are to love one another. Through submission and through unconditional love. And Father, I pray that you will work in my life that I may be more considerate of my wife. And I pray you do that kind of work in the guys listening today. And Father, that you will continue to deepen marriages and make them holy matrimony. Relationships, Lord, that leak Jesus, that clearly demonstrate Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray this morning that has to come from the gospel. That has to come from Jesus inside of us. And so, Father, for some here who are listening, Lord, Father, I pray that you would speak to them if they have not opened their hearts and invited Jesus Christ to forgive them and to provide that strength where a real marriage is able to grow and to be strengthened. And Father, just move among us because, Lord, we need you. And so, Father, this time we call invitation. Father, move among us. And Lord, may we listen and may we respond right where we are in Christ's name.